Jesus healed a guy against his will. Really? It's a story in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. A crowd, some sick, others paralyzed or blind, a crowd sat on the porches surrounding this big pool called Bethzatha. Sometimes it was called Bethesda. And all these people were there because a local legend held that from time to time, the surface of the water in the pool would be troubled. That is, it would become stirred up and ripply, supposedly because of the action of an angel. The legend contended that after the surface had been angelically stirred up, the first person to enter the pool after that happened would be healed of his or her malady. One fellow around that pool had been there for 38 years. You heard me. 38 years. Well, one day Jesus passed by the pool and he sensed that this fellow had been there a long time. I mean, many assumed that Jesus read the fellow's mind, but Jesus was an astute observer. He could see the age of the man, the distressed condition of the mat on which the fellow was lying, the threadbare condition of the man's shirt and tunic and cloak. Jesus could also see that this man had the prime location for begging. I mean, anyone coming to the pool for water or simply passing by could not help but see this particular beggar. That sort of prime spot was not attained by chance. Surely this fellow had achieved some sort of seniority over all the other people gathered there. And when Jesus asked the man what seemed like a silly question, when he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" the man did not say, "Are you crazy? Of course I want to be made well." No, when Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" the fellow gave an excuse. "I don't have anyone to lower me into the pool," he said. "And by the time I can do it myself, someone has beat me to it." Now think about that. Over the course of 38 years, no one ever offered to help him. Not a fellow beggar who had become sick and tired of listening to this guy whine every day. Not a neighborhood shopkeeper who came to the pool six times a week to draw water for work. Not a townsperson who passed by every day. In 38 years, no one had offered. Or more likely, for 38 years, had the man rebuffed the offers of assistance. Why would he do that? Well, perhaps because he was used to the life he was living. He knew his place in life. He knew what to expect. He knew how to get by. He was certain how to function in the life he knew. But if he were healed, if he were able to go wherever he chose, do whatever he wanted, where would he go? What would he do? Who would he be? The man was paralyzed, not only by muscle and nerve, but by the fear of uncertainty. We've all experienced uncertainty in our lives. Uncertainty or failure, perhaps, or emptiness. In his classic work, The Divine Comedy, the Italian author Dante describes such periods as feeling like one has entered a dark woods, a place where one feels lost and disoriented. The path is hidden, the way forward isn't clear. Dante wrote, "Midway along the journey of our life, I woke to find myself in a dark wood, for I had wandered off from the straight path." In periods where we're feeling uncertain or lost or susceptible to temptation, or in other ways we're feeling uncomfortable, our natural inclination is to try to escape, to try to get away from the discomfort, to run in any direction in hopes of getting out of that dark woods. But the witness of the Bible suggests that God uses those periods when we feel our life has entered into a dark woods. God uses those purposes to reveal a gift that we might not discover any other way. How might we experience uncertainty as a gift from God? You know, when it comes to living amid high uncertainty, the heroes that we encounter in the Old and New Testaments, they certainly have been there. Think of Abraham. He gathered his entire household and left home for a distant, unknown, and foreign land solely because God made a promise to him. Any uncertainty there? Moses stood toe-to-toe with the most powerful man in the kingdom of Egypt, demanding that the enslaved Hebrew people be freed. Freed for a journey through a wilderness toward a distant promised land they'd only heard about. Uncertainty? On the road to Damascus, the apostle Paul couldn't believe his blind eyes when the voice of Jesus directed him to encourage fledgling believers rather than have them arrested and tortured and killed. All his life, Peter, the disciple, had been taught that dedicated Jews like him weren't to eat certain things that non-Jews had no problem eating. But then after Jesus was raised from death, Peter had this dream where God convinced him that faithfulness was no longer determined by diet, but by committing to witness and serve in the manner of Jesus. And for that matter, when Jesus himself came to realize that God was calling him to proclaim God's love for all people, Jesus wondered how to go about doing it, and he went off on this solitary retreat in the wilderness for 40 days to try to figure it out. And when he realized that he needed to assemble a band of brothers with him to assist him, once he'd done that, time and time again, they caused Jesus to wonder if they were sufficiently dedicated and resolute in order to succeed. Uncertainty. The Bible's filled with examples of people who find that their lives have entered into a dark woods. Sometimes people found themselves in the dark woods feeling disoriented and unsettled through an ecstatic experience of profound awe and wonder. And sometimes through a life crisis. you realize that your life is in a dark woods because what's going on is often unclear. Next steps are uncertain. The way forward, the way out, is usually anything but obvious. On a practical level, feeling uncertain makes us, most of the time, uncomfortable. We think it's an imbalanced state that needs to seek balance. We think it's an unresolved situation that calls for resolution. But, you know, living a life of faith assumes a measure of uncertainty. Indeed, people whose religion is based on a profound need of being absolutely certain, they tend to be the most frenzied, the most hysterical, and the most intolerant. But we recognize that living with mystery, living with uncertainty, is part of what it means to have faith. Earlier we heard Dave read some familiar words of St. Paul, reflecting that he thought and acted like a child when he was a child, but now that he's an adult, he's able to put aside childish ways like the need to have things black and white, absolutely certain. Referring to life now versus eternal life, Paul wrote, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." You might be interested, you might not be interested, but you might be interested to know that in the phrase, "For now we see in the mirror dimly," that word "dimly" is a translation for a Greek word, anigmati, which is where we get the English word enigma. Dimly, enigma. Enigma means mystery. Enigma is puzzling, a riddle, ambiguous, difficult to understand or interpret. What Paul's saying is that a mature faith is one that embraces life as a mystery to be lived, not a problem to be solved. A mature faith accepts uncertainty as a gift, not a curse. This past Thursday, Mary and I were down at Playhouse Square for the Broadway series presentation of a touring show called If Then. This play cleverly intertwines the stories of the life a woman lived and the life the woman might have lived if at various points she had made that choice instead of this choice. Eventually, the character comes to terms with the uncertainty of not knowing what might have happened had she made different choices throughout her life. At one point, she sings, "You learn to stand alone at last, so brave and bold and strong and stout. You learn somehow to like the dark. You even love the doubt." One way we can react to uncertainty is to worry. What ifs play in our heads, often causing a lot of anxiety about possible, even if they're remote, but possible outcomes. I know from experience. I know I worried that afternoon last year when I got the phone call confirming that our son Eric had stage 3 testicular cancer. I was setting up out here for a seeker's class. Mary called me with the news. Now, knowing that this might be the case, we'd done a little bit of research. We knew that his cancer has one of the highest cure rates out there. But what ifs started flooding my thoughts, even as I spoke on the phone? Sad what ifs. Scary what ifs. Infuriating what ifs. Tragic what ifs. Depressing what ifs. I remember I felt like a zombie, sleepwalking my way through leading the class that night. The uncertainty of his situation, his future, our future, had me tied up in knots, emotionally, intellectually. The next day, though, I sensed some words seemed to be whispering, I don't know, in the back of my head. They were familiar words. They were words of Jesus. But in that dark woods of high anxiety and uncertainty, these words glimmered with a new meaning. Faintly glimmering at first, but then brighter and brighter. Do not worry about your life. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Those were the words. In times of uncertainty, how often we tend to tie ourselves in knots with the anxiety and the worry of what ifs. Now, yes, absolutely, there are times when negative outcomes materialize out of things that are uncertain. There are times when the possibilities of harm or hardship do come to pass. Faith does not exempt us from uncertainty and struggle any more than faith spared the great figures of the Bible from hardship and doubt. And yet, how often the what ifs that we fill our minds with, how often they never come to pass. Still, it's so common for us to make ourselves sick over all the horrors that might happen long before they ever even could happen. Uncertainty is part of the enigma, the mystery of a life of faith. Uncertainty can be what characterizes our living in those periods when we find ourselves in the dark woods where the way forward just isn't clear. But seeing uncertainty as a gift from God teaches us to let go of all concerns but the ones we truly face. Because that gives us the courage and the power to face them. Amen.